Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You're listening to Religion on the Line. I am Bill Scholl, sitting in for Reverend Bob Hill as sort of the talk moderator. I'm with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, and I'm joined in studio with
Pastor Barry Freese, McMurray United Methodist Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Fettig, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Okay, guys, we've got a caller, Mike, who is calling with a suggestion. Good morning, Mike. You're on Religion on the Line.
Good morning.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. I have a suggestion now. This is sort of based on the Charlotte Observer in support of the opening up of male and female bathrooms and locker rooms of the opposite sex, wrote an opinion that girls, and I assume they would include boys in that, have to overcome their discomfort with male genitalia. In the locker room, I guess with males, it would be overcome their either displeasure or their liking of female genitalia in the locker room. In this case, they also compared it to racism. We had to become accustomed to blacks in the locker rooms and the bathrooms. And it's nice. Those that don't go along with that new policy would be racist or comfortable to racism. But I think in this case, to speed along this overcoming of discomfort, we should drop all the indecent exposure laws. And so let people expose themselves, and then I think we'll overcome that discomfort. Also, it doesn't make sense to have indecent exposure laws if we're saying there's nothing wrong with it. We should become accustomed to the genitalia being exposed to the opposite sex.
Well, most people don't expose their genitalia in bathrooms, but Mike, you make an interesting point. Have you by any chance followed up on an item that I was going to bring up eventually? All I have is the headline. Oklahoma lawmakers have introduced a bill that would allow students to request on religious grounds that their public schools provide a bathroom or other facility that bars transgender people. And it strikes me as that actually, I mean, I recognize this is a, what shall we say, a rather controversial issue, probably more than the facts of what will ever happen in reality with regard to transgender folks, because this has been going on for a very long time, with the possible exception of schools where kids just don't go to the bathroom if there's going to be some kind of harassment one way or the other. But the idea of a religious exemption strikes me as perhaps a way to satisfy all kinds of folks because we're never going to get to everybody is on the same page on this one.
Well,
my suggestion is you might want to explore. I'm going to do the same thing. What, if anything, this Oklahoma bill is? Oklahoma got more publicity for something else this week, as I'm sure we're all aware.
I'm confused the fact that you say we've had unisex bathrooms, but that we still would not permit a male to go in at the same time as a female. They lock the door.
Now, well, that may be what we're going to have to do. Have lots of individual bathrooms.
Well, I think the idea would be to have...
But I've known colleges and universities that have large bathrooms where they're unisex and people go in and you shut the door and nobody knows from nothing.
Yes, and I think what's happening in colleges is not a recommendation for that policy.
I'm not suggesting it's one thing or the other. It's just simply a fact.
I know last week you said that it'd be more disturbing for
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I know last week at the end, after you got me off the phone, you suggested that it'd be more discomfort for a guy to go in a male locker room wearing a dress than for, I guess, for the opposite of being exposed to the genitalia.
I truly don't remember that particular thing, but whatever the case may be.
You did say, but that's not the alternative. The alternative would is make accommodations for a person who really has a problem where they can do it in private. Now, the fact that they want to be with some people that are not anatomically, to think that say, even if someone says they feel like a woman, but they don't realize that they're anatomically male or the opposite, to say that they don't, then they've really got a problem if they don't recognize that and they can't admit that it might make give discomfort to someone else. I think the estimate is that it's 0.3 of 1% of the population is transgender.
Well, yeah, which is fascinating how big an issue this has become for such a very small group and the possibility of accommodating such, including in places where they have been accommodated. By the way, including, I believe, Kansas City, Missouri.
Accommodate indicates a compromise. Now, if you say...
Not automatically. It means that somebody's rights trump somebody else's rights, too.
And so that 0.3 of 1% would trump the discomfort rights or privacy.
Well, that's why I'm intrigued with this Oklahoma initiative. I haven't seen any details, but it's suggesting that folks who are in fact uncomfortable for religious reasons, whatever that term may mean in this particular suggested legislation, I don't think it's been passed yet.
Well, it might be
a way for us to find a way to live together with the contentious opinions that we're never going to find a common ground.
I think there might be some people that might have some discomfort with this without it being based on religion.
I agree with you.
Let me ask you this. What's your position on this whole question? What do you think is in the best interest of the common good?
Well, I think for someone who's really having a traumatic experience being with their own in a locker room, have a special room for them to give them privacy. But don't interfere with the privacy of the other 99.7% of the population. Have them give up their rights. I also think if we keep going this way and say that it's completely normal, you can respect someone and be sensitive to their feelings without saying something is just as normal as everything else. Because if you do that, you have a lot of people that go through gender identification problems before puberty. Now, the studies show that most of those, a high over 90%, resolve that gender confusion after puberty. But if we start teaching them as normal and encourage them earlier, you're going to see a growth in those.
I'm not sure that we're trying to say anything is quote-unquote normal as much as we're trying to say there's room for you to be working through whatever it is you're working through. And I certainly have known
people.
Whose physical identity and their internal identity are not in coherence, and it's an incredible challenge for them to come to a place of acceptance of self. I want a society that recognizes that and finds a way to accommodate them.
Well, I think we have accommodated. I think you could have a special room for it, but then ACLU fights against you having a special room. They've got to be in the female locker rooms without any kind of curtain. That's what the ACLU fought for. Indiana or is it Illinois?
I think it was Illinois.
Yeah, the ACLU didn't want them having a special place in the female locker room with a curtain. They wanted it to be open. And so progressivism says you're going to go start at one point and you're going to keep going toward the ultimate.
Well, it certainly does seem the issue is politicized, and I don't think this is a new issue. I don't think people who consider themselves transgendered or struggling with issues of gender, like Rabbi Michael said so eloquently, their physical reality doesn't jive with the how they feel inside. I don't think that's anything new, and I think we've always had ways of dealing with that discreetly. But by making laws, you politicize it. So, like, for instance, Target. I mean, a lot of people now are boycotting Target because they came out and made that their official policy. We're going to have our bathrooms open to everyone. And it strikes me as sometimes you have these laws not because the intent is to enforce them perfectly, but rather when there is an issue, that's when you enforce it. So if a biological man walks into a woman's restroom and he's being discreet because he's dressed as a woman and not calling attention to himself, I don't think that's going to be as much of a problem as if you have a biological man walking into a restroom who maybe is using that as cover. I mean, I think that's the big fear. And
but you aren't supposed to challenge their feelings and how would they feel themselves.
Well, who's going to be enforcing this anyway? I mean,
yeah, really.
I mean, what's the
20-year-old manager?
The this just, I got to tell you that the enforcement issue just, I mean, surely stores or institutions are not going to hire bathroom monitors to check people. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think I've exhausted the subject.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Amen.
I need to take a restroom break.
Yeah.
Down the hall it is.
Well, hey, Mike. Thanks for calling Religion on the Line. We got to take a break.
Visit OverheadDoorKansasCity.com or call 816-512-1512.
Summertime is wedding time, black tie charity events, and anything formal. Why would you rent a tux or suit that doesn't fit? Go see Dan Dan the Tailor Man and get the perfect fit in a fabulous-looking suit that you own. Dan's Clothier has the best selection and quality suits in the metro. Dan Dan the Tailor Man wants you to look like you walked off the pages of GQ. Dan's Clothier at 97th and Quivira across from Oak Park Mall. Or call for an appointment, 913-514-1192.
Divorce can be a traumatic experience. I'm pro football legend Barry Sanders, and when I was facing my divorce, I didn't know of Cordell and Cordell, but now I do. The family law attorneys of Cordell and Cordell have made it their mission to preserve the roles of dads in their children's lives. I met with Cordell and Cordell attorneys, I sat down with their clients and heard their stories. I know that Cordell and Cordell's priority is to protect and promote men's financial and family interests in all stages of divorce. Don't face this process alone. Consider Cordell and Cordell, a partner men can count on.
Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell and Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's attorneys. 816-842-2400. 816-842-2400. 816-842-2400. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. CordellCordell.com. This is a paid endorsement. Cordell and Cordell, Joseph Cordell, principal partner.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
One of the things I love about our friends over at Window World is their exceptional value. Dave Ramsey here. Folks, if you're in the market for windows or doors, you need to call Window World of Kansas City. In just over 10 years in business, Window World has improved the look and efficiency of over 28,000 homes in Kansas City. Window World is the home of the original $189 window. And these $189 windows are amazing. They come with double strength glass, a lifetime warranty, and the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Plus, Window World is committed to serving my listeners well. So give Window World a call today for a free in-home estimate. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 or windowworld.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Be sure and tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
2016 began with a spate of weak economic data for the U.S., and that's jolted every market. But we've had much less frightening data lately. So is the economy really slowing down? My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler, Lands, and Wagler, and host of the Capitalist Pigs radio show. To be honest, the economy has already slowed down, and different parts of the U.S. economy are arguably already in a recession. Investors need an approach to growth investing that can perform regardless of the health of the economy, and that's exactly what our all-weather growth portfolio aspires to do. The combination of trend following, the ability to bet against markets, and extreme diversification provide the best chance for investors to navigate any economy, expansion or recession, and in any stock market environment, bull or bear. You can learn more about our all-weather approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, the website, investontrack.com.
Carson in the Morning.
Sometimes abstinence is the way to go.
There's a warning for you. Don't go to a party where there's women.
Yes.
Just stay away from women.
Having such a good time in college. That's exactly how I envisioned it.
Jared, I like that White Snake poster.
Yeah.
Did you get that from your dad?
I bought it on eBay.
You know, you never have girls down to your room.
This whole college thing's really working out. I'm thinking about getting a tarantula. That'll really drive the chicks wild.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning 6 to 10. Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.
You're listening to Religion on the Line, and it's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas, Kansas, along with
Pastor Barry Freese, McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, along with
Somewhere Over the Rainbow in Chicago, it's Rabbi Michael Zedek. I love that version of
song. Yeah.
So by the way, guys, Charles, our faithful listener in West Virginia, sent us a little email. Hi, guys. Pope Boniface VIII was nothing compared to Nicholas V. I don't know from Nicholas V, but what he says, he's got some Latin here. I'm going to butcher it. Dum diversas, we grant you, kings of Spain and Portugal, by these present documents with our apostolic authority, full and free permission to invade, search out, capture, and subjugate the Saracens and pagans and any other unbelievers and enemies of Christ wherever they may be, as well as their kingdoms, duchies, counties, principalities, and other property, and ellipsis, and to reduce their persons into perpetual servitude. He writes, thus justifying both Indian and black African slavery. Oddly, Nicholas was a personally likable and humble man like Francis, perhaps, who counsels IMO. What's IMO mean?
In my honest opinion, or in my opinion.
Okay. Social, and thank you. You're more au courant, huh? A social and economic suicide of the West. Oh, well, there's a little political thing. Thanks for your show, Chuck. So now we have a contest for worst pope.
Worst pope. All right. We opened up the show earlier today talking about some of the big news happening with the Methodist congregation, and we're joined in studio here with Pastor Barry Freese, who is a Methodist minister.
I am.
You want to talk? So I guess the big news is sort of the non-event in which the Methodist Church had its opportunity to say kind of once and for all, what's our stance with lesbians and gays? Do we ordain them? Do we witness their marriages? And I guess they decided to sort of kick that decision up the road. Am I right?
Well, first off,
yeah,
you know, because this group meets every 4 years,
yeah,
once and for all is probably not going to be the
right. Okay.
Probably not going to be the situation. There are other things that happen. The United Methodist Church globally has done just fabulous work with malaria, and really taken a really strong run at that, and lives are being saved there. Another moment was that the United Methodist Church withdrew from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Rights founding membership there. No financial support, but that coalition will have to take the United Methodist logo off the things they do.
The reason for that?
Well, it's hard to say when you get a group, you know, that when there's, you know, it takes 400 some odd votes to pass something.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it came out of committee with that recommendation, the legislative committee, but it wasn't a unanimous recommendation, and it caused a lot of conversation. The folks that are happy for that say that that group was advocating for abortion as a solution to many problems or many issues women face. The group that was unhappy with that decision feels the loss of health care options for women and the dangerous non-medical possibilities there. That was not a resounding change in terms of the vote, but it was enough to accomplish that politically. One of the other things that went on, it came to be known as Rule 44, but there was a method for talking with each other that was under some considerable discussion, but it's used in a lot of different religious groups. Australia's Protestant church does this, where the discussions are broken out into groups, as opposed to the body as a whole, and that went down along probably, I wouldn't say party lines, but the consensus was that the more conservative folks theologically didn't want those conversations to happen, and the more progressive folks did. So there's other things, you know, that came up. The LGBTQ access and rights was the hot button, really, for the conference. And the really historic piece is that the conference specifically asked the bishops for some leadership. And as you know, we talked before, the bishops in our tradition, when we meet together for the general conference, which is the only body that can set our book of discipline, our rules, the bishops don't get a vote. They can't make a motion. They can't, you know, bring things to the agenda. It has to come from, you know, the body or the floor in a legislative sense. But the floor, the body, asks the bishops for leadership, and what ended up being the suggestion was that we take a couple years and look very specifically at human sexuality as a theological topic, and see where that leads us. You know, the political reality is that the growing edge of the United Methodist Church on the planet, it tends to be growing in more politically conservative areas. And one of the thoughts was to have the one of our meetings, our quadrennial is the phrase we use for every 4 years, have that in Africa. But then the issue became that for many of the African countries, somebody LGBTQ could very well end up in jail or even under a death penalty because of the laws of some of the African countries. So even just trying to be a global church raises challenges.
Yeah. Is there any thought in trying to be a global church that there will need to be regional differences, or is it just this notion that the truth is univocal for our community that just is the controlling value?
Well, I think the challenge is that at the moment with our book of discipline, which ordained pastors promised to uphold, issues like abortion, issues like LGBTQ ordination, you know, we're trying to have a one-size-fits-all kind of situation, and that's, you know, the happy news is there was no split, you know, in the United Methodist Church. There was no schism or schism, depending on which dictionary you use for pronunciation. And one of the things we are known for is goes back to the Wesleyan quote of being clear about essentials, but also having charity in dealing with folks. We are not a creedal church, for example. You don't have to, you know, promise to believe exactly certain things to be a United Methodist. We are a Christian and we are a Trinitarian. So, you know, on issues like abortion, issues like the LGBTQ conversation, you know, the regional differences are pretty significant. And one of the conversations that hasn't been implemented but is out there is allowing regions or jurisdictions, we call them, or even conferences, which in our case in Missouri is a single conference, and Kansas and Nebraska is a conference. What about letting the conferences decide? The bishops are the ones that do ordination. The conferences have boards that recommend people for ordination. And there is a pretty significant difference of opinion depending on the region. And so that's one of the conversations that's out there, that we would not have to try to have a book of discipline that was one size fits all, because the reality is there's a wide range of opinion.
. 2016 began with a spate of weak economic data for the U.S. and that's jolted every market, but we've had much less frightening data lately. So is the economy really slowing down? My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler, and host of the Capitalist Pigs radio show. To be honest, the economy has already slowed down, and different parts of the U.S. economy are arguably already in a recession. Investors need an approach to growth investing that can perform regardless of the health of the economy, and that's exactly what our all-weather growth portfolio aspires to do. The combination of trend following, the ability to bet against markets, and extreme diversification provide the best chance for investors to navigate any economy, expansion or recession, and in any stock market environment, bull or bear. You can learn more about our all-weather approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, the website, investontrack.com.
CBS News Update. The Afghan intelligence agency is confirming that a major Taliban leader has died in a U.S. drone strike. Mollah Akhtar Mansour is blamed in the deaths of many U.S. and coalition troops. CBS News national security analyst Juan Zarate says Mansour's death does not eliminate the threat.
The Taliban itself has evolved over time. Mullah Omar, Mullah Mansour, and a few others are part of the old guard from the very start of the Taliban. There are younger, more ascendant elements, perhaps even harder-lined individuals who may now vie for leadership.
Reporter Suna Rasmussen in Kabul says via Skype that Mansour's death probably won't affect peace talks. He says the U.S. and Afghan governments have just about given up on them. The Taliban doesn't appear interested in negotiating.
I think if the Americans were hoping that a resumption of peace talks were anywhere near on the horizon, I think they probably wouldn't have targeted the leader of the Taliban.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather.
KCMO weather from KCTV5.
It's going to be a great end to the weekend. Mostly sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 79. 64 overnight with mostly cloudy skies. Then Monday, scattered showers and storms. Could be a wet Monday morning commute with a high of 76. I'm KCTV5 meteorologist Jesse Howila.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flow.
A tool called Name Your Price. Get a grip on your spending like an industrial vice. It's nice. Beats rolling the dice. I prefer brown rice. Don't carry dumbbells when you walk on thin ice. Splash.
Get insurance based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Corona Light presents the Spread the Love Tour 2016, starring Kenny Chesney.
Sunset right here and have another beer in Mexico.
With Miranda Lambert. Saturday, July 16th in Arrowhead Stadium. Kenny Chesney.
Light up the night, let it burn, it's gone.
And Miranda Lambert.
You can't ride in my little red wagon.
With special guest Sam Hunt.
I just want to take your time.
And Old Dominion.
I know you ain't in love.
Saturday, July 16th in Arrowhead Stadium.
It's a simple wine, it's summertime.
Kenny Chesney.
Summertime.
Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Miranda Lambert and Kenny Chesney.
Blowing that smoke on Saturday night.
Produced by Messina Touring Group and AEG Live.
Carson in the Morning.
Dale, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people could help sponsor the wall. That way we get it paid for. You know, like LifeLock could sponsor a section.
How about Chipotle?
Yeah.
This mile of keeping Mexicans on the other side of the wall brought to you by Ford Motor Company.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And on the other side, they could sponsor it too with all the companies that move there to save money.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dale. Good idea, buddy.
Let's get some natural tie-ins like Durex.
Durex. Yes.
Nothing gets past our barrier, right? Tampax Pearl. Tampax Pearl. There will be no flow here. There will be no flow. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get natural tie-in.
Oh, that's perfect.
People that are supposed to have barriers, they would want their name on it.
That is perfect. Oh, that's perfect. And for the water in the Rio Grande, you have the reservoir tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have the Trojan man walking up and down the thing on patrol.
Carson in the Morning, weekday mornings, 6 to 10. Traffic and weather together first on The Force on KCMO. KCMO.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Follow us as we live tweet all weekend from Waldo's Hot Fest to Smoke 'em for the Troops at Outlaw Cigar Company. You can follow Jared the producer at Jared L. Carter and me at Rob Carson. See you Monday.
You're listening to Religion Online. Your show, so far this morning, we've talked about wicked popes, transgendered bathrooms, and the United Methodist Conference that just concluded.
How can a bathroom be transgendered?
You're
talking about bathrooms for transgender.
There you go. Bathrooms for transgender. So if you want to join the conversation and talk about anything, call us at 576-7710. That's 576-7710. So what do you guys... So
who are you?
Thank you. I'm Bill Scholl, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Pastor Barry Fries, McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. Talking about which things, Clay Como,
yes.
was the Ford plant before Clay Como, or was Clay Como before the Ford plant?
I think Clay Como was there first.
And so the other piece of the curiosity, my presumption is that Ford is doing quite well.
Yes.
Clay Como doing okay?
You know, that's a good question. You know, the last time I was at a board meeting for the village of Clay Como, one of the questions that came up was the question of what percentage of the residential property in Clay Como is rental property. And somebody put forward the idea that it was more than half. The response to that was, well, I don't think it's quite half. So it's there's good folks there. The properties are not at the point, and I don't know the tax structure very thoroughly. I do know that the overall rate is very low. So simply the idea of getting sidewalks, for example, is challenging. And when that area was developed, the homes were roughly, you know, middle class, working class folks. But I don't think there's been a lot of real estate development, residential there for some time. It faces the challenge of not being a very big entity with a low tax rate. So there are challenges, yes.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, I've got a question for you, and this is just a completely different subject.
That'll be a first for this show.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know,
whether
this,
or not a bathroom
morning,
itself can be transgender.
Yeah, this morning we've been... And maybe it's the promos from Carson in the Morning, which is here on 710. But earlier this week, they covered a story in which a media personality in Britain, this woman, she confided in an interview that she's no longer interested in having sex with her husband, that she's had her kids and she just has a very low libido. And so she's given her husband a pass in which he can go outside the marriage and seek his gratification in that way. And Carson, of course,
I am not volunteering.
I know, me neither. And Carson was saying, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like an animal in captivity that's released into the woods. But it got me thinking, like for me as a married man, this was just crazy. Like, what woman would suggest this? And I wanted to ask you, because you've had a lot of pastoral experience. What would you say to a woman who was coming to you with this bright idea? How would you help a marriage like that, where she's
boy.
I don't want to have sex with my husband anymore, but of course he still wants to have it. How would you help them, or what kind of advice might you give?
The first thing is, it seems to me, and I'm truly not, as the United Methodists are so skilled at, punting yet.
Yeah.
Hey now.
The first thing I would try to do is get that person to a physician, and to see what may be going on physiologically, and what their partnership is supposed to mean. There's a notion of holiness which is more important than any other aspect of a relationship, it seems to me. How do we care for each other? Not just how do I take care of myself, and I happen to also live with you.
Yeah.
You know? But I would also want to see if I could get both people in my office. Because my guess is that there's a question of intimacy here that is not just confined to genitalia, unless there's some physical thing going on.
All right. Well, we've got Doug on the line, who, and all my board says
who wants to offer himself
to
that lady.
Yeah. So let's hear what Doug has to say. Doug, you're on Religion on the Line.
Yeah, this thing is huge. What you're talking about, and I tripped onto it by accident. I found this website called Cheating Cougars.
Oh wow!
And this just isn't men. This is women. I mean, there's thousands of them, and it all has to do with the thyroid gland and hormones that aren't working, and they can't do their sexual things that they used to do, and a lot of it is they're not interested in one another anymore, and they're really out. I didn't know this was that big.
Well, I think we're seeing in the culture, and this is something that, young adults are, there's a new term called monogamish, where you're in a committed relationship, but the understanding is that you each get a pass occasionally to go somewhere else. So it seems
how many
like,
mulligans do you get?
Yeah, I think the idea is that, look, if you have an overnight dalliance and it's a bit of a fling, that's not a deal breaker for the relationship. And in some relationships, they're fairly open about it. So this is a new trend, and we're seeing our culture's understanding of marriage shift. So Doug, what do you think about that? Do you think, one of the ideas in this article that they were talking about was, well, it's not the affair that breaks the marriage, it's the lying about it. But I think for me, I it would be the affair. I mean, I don't want my wife to lie about it, but there seems like, I mean, for me, it's the sex is a sign of our covenant that we have with one another. So if you break that, you damage the covenant. But what do you think about this, Doug? Yeah, it's pretty common now.
I think that, it just gets into a big fight if it gets into jealousy, and if you're looking at the court issue on it, you still have the adultery situation going on, and even in religion as well as truth. So
I'm going to offer it.
I feel like I would do everything in my power to make sure physically that I was working right. So I could do what I needed to do in my marriage before I started all that stuff.
But sometimes the problem isn't just the plumbing, it's the desire.
Right. That comes when your hormones are down, you don't have the desire no more. That's the first thing they ask you.
Well, I want to offer a tangent here.
Yeah.
Because, and that tangent is, I mean, aside from what we're talking about in terms of the need for a physical examination if such feelings come up, is I'm going to go in this direction. We live in a world in which we deeply need intimacy, which is not the same thing as sex. We need intimacy and we need meaning. Many of us choose to avoid going to the place where that is most apparently the job, which includes relationships with an individual, if we are fortunate enough to have a life partner, and religious communities. The hunger has to be satisfied, even if we eat junk food, and I mean that as a metaphor.
Yeah.
And the junk food is, oh, this person, truthfully, and affairs are either a symptom of a dysfunctioning relationship or it's masturbation using another person.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm looking at myself for true love, which is really hard to find. But if you find it, it is really wonderful.
Forgive me for being a stinker, but you got to give it before you can find it.
That's true. Yeah, if you want a friend, be a friend. If you want a lover, be a lover. All right. Well, hey, Doug, thanks for joining us. We got to take a break. And then when we get back, we got a couple calls waiting. Harold wants to talk about the Methodists. And we've got Bebo wanting to talk about the Pope. So you're listening to Religion on the Line. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 576-7710.
Carson in the Morning.
Why more women are letting their husbands cheat? Really?
What?
I mean, how often does this happen?
Where did you see this? AshleyMadison.com?
No, I did not. You know, if my wife did this, I would be like that animal that's raised in captivity. When they take them out, they lift up the cage, and it just kind of sits there in the cage. That's what would happen to me. She'd be like, go cheat this weekend. And I would be. I'd be just like that animal, just cowering. I can't. I've never lived out there. It's been so long.
Carson in the Morning. Weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Airman here for Midwest Heating to say spring may be in the air, but rising utility prices are in the wind. So, in this era of everything ever rising, how would you like to give your utility bill a real buzz cut? For starters, Midwest Heating has just announced rebates up to $1,700 and 0% 24-month financing with approved credit on all qualifying Lennox high-efficiency home comfort systems. Not only will a new Lennox drastically improve your indoor air quality, you may expect up to a 40% rate break on your electric bill. And every new Lennox comes with an extended 3-year labor warranty. It doesn't take brains to realize this is a no-brainer. Just dial 943-8400 and say, Airman, my wallet's aching, come save my bacon. Now in our sixth decade, same family ownership, same standards of excellence. Trust your air to the best, Midwest. Midwest Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. MidwestHeating.com.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Is it the pushy salespeople, the fake President's Day sale, or the fact that you know you'll regret what you bought as you do the walk of shame out of the mattress store? I'm here to tell you, those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we create your custom sleep profile to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. It's like it never happened. If you do love your new Helix mattress, keep it and your dignity. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helixsleep.com/talk and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talk.
Carson in the Morning.
The Go Bowling 400, Kyle Busch pulled out the win. Apparently, he took the lead on lap 231 out of 267.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Can't say enough about Interstate. Boss Energy Drink, Toyota, of course, Sprint, and what they do for our sport.
We got to thank the sponsors, man.
Fans, too. And
All right. I can't. That's the problem with that sport. The sponsorships are out of control. Yeah. What should be an authentic moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got to give it up. Man upstairs, also M&M, Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
And the
Bush Light.
And the pants.
And my pants. And then my children. Also DeWalt.
Yeah.
Cobalt.
Yeah. Malibu, my lovely wife.
Truex Jr., though, in the lead for almost the entire time. Yeah. He got passed up by Kyle Busch. Here he is, apoplectic. He looks like he's about to cry.
It's frustrating when you've had it happen so many times in your career. I mean, it's... I swear.
My tears are brought to you by Bass Pro Shop and the Visit Omaha Council.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning 6 to 10. Michael Savage.
The man who created the whole idea called Islamophobia admitted, finally, maybe he was running for his life, that he did it specifically to upset the white European heterosexual Christian. And he said it's been a disaster. Don't try to change it for what it isn't and go along with Obama's big lie about the glories of multiculturalism. It's a disaster.
Savage Nation. Weekdays 4 to 6. FM 103.7 and AM 710. KCMO. Carson in the Morning.
Once you smoke meat, you never go back. Once you rub your meat, stick it in a smoker, and let it sit for a few hours, my goodness, life is good.
Drenched with innuendo.
Weekday morning, 6 to 10. Know the weather before it hits. From KCTV 5, Kansas City's weather station.
News, weather, and traffic on the fours.
103.7 FM and AM 710. KCMO. We've got you covered when you need it most. News, weather, and traffic on the fours. On Kansas City's most stimulating talk. KCMO.
Religion on the Line. I'm Bill Scholes, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas. Our boards are lighting up. I'm joined in studio with
Pastor Barry Freese, Murray, Missouri. Well, no, wait. Where am I? McMurray United Methodist Church, Clay Como, Missouri.
Who am I? Where am I? It's been a very existential show.
Along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, and I probably just gave us a PG-13, if not an R, with my last comment.
Oh,
about
no, there you go. Well, it got people waking up because we got the boards lit up. So let's see if we get some calls. We're going to go to Harold, who wanted to talk a little bit about the Methodist Conference. Harold, you're on Religion on the Line.
Well, thank you. And first of all, I want to say to Barry, I'm so glad that your operation was successful. And
thank you very much.
I hope your health is returning. I'm sorry I wasn't able to see you while you were down.
Well, it appears I'm still talking to you, Harold, so that's all right. Let's just say I'm on track. How's that?
That's good. And I want to
congratulate. Let's just say I joined Harold, and I didn't even know, so there.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you, Michael, on your retirement.
Thank you.
I hope it goes well, and I know it will because you're such a wonderful person and a great rabbi. You'll be doing some wonderful things. So
you've been a perspiration, inspiration, and model for a lot of folks. So stop being nice.
So Harold, did you have a question or a thought about the conference?
Well, the thing I wanted to comment about was it was so tragic. I think the vote, as it and I don't remember the exact tally in the vote, was so close. It just shows that the church is split right down the middle. And for those of us who are on the progressive side, such as myself, I have worked with many homosexuals and gay persons, and we're losing some wonderful gifted people when we don't invite them to be a part of the ordination and to be a clergy person. And so it just saddens me so greatly that we postponed this now for 3 or 4 sessions of annual or general conference, and it just really disturbs me greatly.
Do you think you would have preferred it if they'd voted decidedly and said no to just had said no, we're drawing the line, we're not going to ordain, it's still incompatible.
Well, that's been the status since 1970s.
So that's the
status.
Yeah. I think it would have split the church, as Barry mentioned, because of the Asian and the African, but I think it ought to be split, and I think that most of the American United Methodists would be in favor, I think, to include those persons. And I think it was wonderful what Adam Hamilton was trying to do behind the scenes to bring some kind of a consensus where either congregations can, you know, agree to their own inclusion and their own pastor and call a pastor if they wish to, or say to the bishop, we'll take a pastor who is gay and that sort of thing. I think there are ways around it, and I think we're ashamed that we're so concerned about growth that we forgot faithfulness and faithful to people and faithful to grace, even though there are a lot of people who don't believe in that sort of thing. But at any rate, that's kind of where I'm at.
All right.
Did Adam's suggestion even see the light of day, or was all behind scenes?
I think it was all behind the scenes. Maybe, Barry, you know more about that than I do.
Well, you know, Harold, I wasn't on the floor. I did see the live stream. I think it's clear that he was part of the group that was encouraging the bishops to lead and to offer us some, I don't know about options, but just direction. So I'm grateful for his leadership there. Michael Slaughter was also active, and it's, you know, we're still a church,
yeah,
and we're still a global force for good. We do many good things across the planet. And
boy, absolutely. And I wouldn't still be a United Man. I would have transferred myself a long time ago. But I believe in the church. I believe in our doctrines, but not this one. And it's just saddening for those of us who've been looking forward to some way to find inclusion as an option.
All right. Well, Harold, thanks for calling and sharing your opinions. We've got Dale on line four who wants to talk about Jacob. Hi, Dale. You're on Religion on the Line.
Hey. Hi. Long story, but I'll just cut right to the chase. Did Jacob know when he had his sons and everybody come in, they found out about Dinah and what the one guy did to Dinah? This is all
you're talking
have
about
to...
Jacob from the Old Testament?
Yeah. And he says, well, you can have her, but you know, everybody in the entire kingdom go get circumcised. Okay. So, and then they laid around, they couldn't do anything for 2 days. Well, did Jacob know that his sons were going to do that, rise up and kill everybody?
The normative understanding in Jewish tradition is absolutely not, that in effect, Simeon and Levi, or in English, I guess, Shimon and Levi in Hebrew, acted on their own as intimates of their sister, and shall our sister be treated as a common whore?
Mm-hmm.
And they took vengeance. And Jacob's response is, you've made me a byword for... I don't have the Hebrew in front of me, so... But Jacob's response suggests either that he's dissembling or he is truly distressed by what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And in his deathbed, he gives them a what for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering.
All right. Well, thanks, Dale. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling Religion on the Line. We have Raj on line two, wants to talk about the concept of church. Raj, you're on Religion on the Line.
Hi. Just I'll be quick. The concept of the church or the concept of the people of God is very unique to Judaism and Christianity. You don't find that concept in Islam, Hinduism, Jainism, or Buddhism. That is the collective relationship of people of God to God. And that's why I think any individual Hindu or any individual Muslim speaks, he speaks on sort of a behalf of God, that because he is in relationship individually with God, there is no control over what they say. In Christianity, I cannot go on saying anything if church is against me. So I was just sharing this part that I never found the concept of God, because church here is not a building. Church is the people of God.
Well, St. Paul calls it the body of Christ, right? That we're all one body. And Michael, is that similar in Judaism? Like you're one people? Do you understand yourself?
Yes, but we need to pick that up next week because it's an interesting topic.
All right. You've been listening to Religion on the Line. I am Bill Scholz, social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with...
Pastor Barry Fries, McMurray United Methodist Church in Clay Como, Missouri, along with...
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Together we celebrate the ability to say,
God bless.
Carson in the Morning.
Let's go to Anna on the line. Anna, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show.
How are you?
I'm good. You want to play Trump or 12-year-old?
I do.
All right, let's start with this first quote. Trump or 12-year-old? Quote, you can't expect everyone to have the same dedication as you.
Trump.
No, that is a 12-year-old. That's a 12-year-old. Sorry, Anna. Thanks for the phone call. That was not Trump. We're going to X that one off.
How already?
I told you it's not easy. Scott, welcome to the Carson in the Morning Show.
Good morning.
Let's do Trump or 12-year-old. Here's the quote. I don't know if this makes me a bad person or whatever, but it's hard for me to get interested in other people's vacations. Trump or 12-year-old?
Trump.
No, that's 12-year-old. That's from Higher Even Whippy Kid.
Including the whatever?
Yeah, including the whatever. Yeah.
Surprise.
Dave on the line. Hello, Dave. You want to play Trump or 12-year-old?
Yes.
Quote, I have never seen a thin person drinking Diet Coke.
12-year-old.
No, that's Donald Trump. Wow.
Carson in the Morning, weekday morning, 6 to 10. FM 103.7 and AM 710. KCMO.